Welcome in to the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan for the next hour. Eilish and Justin getting you set for another doubleheader in the NHL tonight. Round two, games two for Carolina, Washington. That's a 7 p.m. start, followed by Edmonton and Vegas, a 9 p.m. start. Both those games on Sportsnet, and you can find the late night game on Sportsnet 360. If you're looking for the Blue Jays, another late start tonight after 9 p.m. Jays on the road to face the Angels. We'll have that on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 1.
Couple big games for teams that are starting the second round on home ice. Do not want to fall down 0-2 and having to go on the road. So big spots here for the Washington Capitals and Vegas Golden Knights tonight.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more of game, the first game on the network tonight, Carolina-Washington, with Devontae Smith-Pelly, who will join us around 6:30. Obviously, Stanley Cup champ in 17-18 and former NHL forward. We'll go through that Carolina-Washington series with him. But we'll kick things off with the second part of the doubleheader, Edmonton-Vegas, and a little look around the NHL with Dwayne Rolison, former NHL goaltender, who joins us. Dwayne, appreciate you coming on. How's it going?
Everything's great. How's it going with you guys?
Where are you? I'd love to be in that nice, warm climate with a pool in the background.
Forget the pool, golf course in the back.
Yeah.
It was 97 degrees today. I don't know if you wanted that or not. I was in a rink until about 1 o'clock, so it was actually nice and cool, but right now it's unbearable almost.
So. Well, we'll keep it short so you can jump in the pool after our interview and refresh. We appreciate you coming on. We got lots to go through with you, and I want to look back just like about a year ago. So last time I saw you doing some media was your return to Edmonton. It was the Western Conference Final. You were the alumni guest, and you know, famously at that point, you were the last goalie from the Oilers team to make a Stanley Cup final. And I remember you chatting with Stuart Skinner, and then they clinched a Stanley Cup final berth. Like, now, a year later, this Oilers team has kind of gone through the ups and downs. They're having the same goaltending discussions, and they're having a good start of this series. Like, what has it been like watching this Oilers team and being a part of that journey last year and kind of seeing them on the cusp of maybe making another one?
Yeah, not much has changed except for their attention to defensive zone coverage. In the first two games against LA, they just sort of, you know, they're leaving guys uncontested in the slot. Like, they're getting grade A chances after grade A chances. And, you know, like, I know it's easy to point the finger at the goalie, but for the most part, like, Stuart was keeping them in games, and then then a soft one goes in and things like that, then the players get defeated a little bit, and now then they got another goalie that comes in and they're actually rallying around them. They're doing everything, you know, not that they're, you don't say that a team plays different in front of certain goalies, but it just subconsciously, it just happens. And, you know, they're playing a lot more defensive structure, you know, keeping a lot of things to the outside. And it's never an easy job, but it's been a lot easier for Pickard than it has been for Skinner and the two games that Stewart has played versus the five that the Picks has played. And great for him. He's rising to the occasion, that, and they needed him to be there and do what he's doing. And so I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the organization and the team, and hopefully they continue on success.
Presumably, Stu Skinner will get another chance in these playoffs. I guess that's not a guarantee, but I would probably expect it to go that way at some point. But I wonder if it's just easier being Pickard, because if you're Pickard, your goal is to just not be the reason why the Oilers lose. And I guess if you're Stu Skinner, you want to try to be better than the other goaltender. Like, it's your job to win the goaltending battle, I guess, as a number one. Is it easier to be in the mind frame of a Pickard in this situation as opposed to Stu Skinner, who has to, I guess, look over his shoulder and have more things that he has to worry about?
Yeah, for Pickard, who's, you know, I scouted Picks when he was younger and watched him come into the league, and you know, I thought he would be a number one at some point. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's always been the backup guy. And, you know, so he's been in this situation. He knows how to be a backup and come in and play 5, 6, 10 games that he has to play in a row if the number one guy goes down. Is he a capable number one? Yeah, but it hasn't been proven at that level. So for him to come in and, yeah, like, I'm not starting. There's not a lot of pressure. Oh, now I'm starting. Okay. Is it less pressure than what Stewart's facing? Maybe a little bit, but not much. You're still playing. You're still the pressure. The city puts a lot of pressure on you. The fans there put a lot of pressure on you. And, you know, for Stewart being a hometown boy, you know, so there's a little bit more there, pressure on Stewart than his picks, but at the same time, it's still, the pressure's still high for him. I just don't think any goalie, you know, you take Toronto, for instance, their goalie situation, what's going on there. Do you think the pressure's less for Wall than it is for Stores? No, it's not. It's the pressure's still the same, but is it less? Yes, because you weren't supposed to be the savior. You weren't supposed to be the guy. So it's a little less, and the media is probably not going to be as hard on you as they are on a starter.
Yeah, that might be the biggest. That might be the biggest difference. I think you nailed it getting there, because in the end of the day, you know, there's expectations on the number one guy. I think everyone's going to be a little bit more lenient on Pickard, and maybe that is a lot of the pressure that goaltenders face. You mentioned that you worked with Pickard, so you know him reasonably well, or you knew him coming up reasonably well. What makes him, I guess, mentally equipped to deal with the situation that he's in, the spot that he's in, the position that he's in now? Because you're right, there are a lot of expectations. You don't want to let down number 97 and number 29. Like, there's a lot that goes into his position, but it seems like he's embraced it and done quite well handling that mental load.
Yeah, I think he's sort of groomed himself into understanding the pressures of being in Edmonton, especially with Connor and Leon there. But you know, you look at his career, he sort of groomed himself to be this in this situation. He's mentally proven that he can come in and do what he's doing right now. He's done it in the past. He's capable of doing it. You know, I'm sure if you ask him today, when you look back at your career, would you rather have been a starter? Yes, of course he's going to say that. So, but in the past, he has been a starter, right? He coming into the league, he was supposed to be a starter. So, you know, for him, he does have the pedigree to be able to play 10, 15 games in a row, you know, but he's capable of coming in off the bench. So, you know, so that's just what he's, as a pro, that's what he's done versus what he, before he became a pro, you know, where he was a number one guy, you know. So, you know, it's still there. It's just, there are two different mindsets and two different approaches that you got to take. And you always got to be ready. You just never know what's going to happen. And, you know, and he's doing a great job at being that guy.
We're chatting with Dwayne Rolison, former NHL goaltender, ahead of two more big games in the NHL tonight. I want to ask you just a little bit about the Wall and Stolarz dynamic. More specifically, I'm sure you've seen the hit, and I'm not going to ask you if like it should have been penalized or not, but like being a goaltender in that position, I'm sure you've been injured, or you have been injured, obviously, in the Stanley Cup final. But what is that situation like? You want to be in, you want to play in the moment of like the biggest stage, and you can't. How was that on you, and how was that like what you think maybe Stolarz might be going through, having to watch from the sidelines?
It was really tough for me. The situation, you know, I just get traded there, and we go on this remarkable run, and now all of a sudden I'm hurt, and literally there isn't anything I could do, and I just felt like I let the city down, my teammates down. I just felt like I let everyone down. So it was tough to handle, and you know, the guys between UC Markkanen and Ty Conklin coming in, and you know, they did a great job coming in, you know, so that was a little bit of relief, but still you feel there's always something that you feel like you let your teammates down. And that's the biggest thing, is your team in the city, that you just feel you let them down, and it's hard to get over. Right. And still to this day, I try not to talk about that time and, you know, relive the glory days and what happened and all the excitement in the city, and try to forget about game one, what happened, and relive the 2-7 type of games, and try not to forget, what happened in game one. And, you know, like the contact is the contact. There's always contact. like, I don't think Bennett was targeting, you know, like when you're looking at the play, and we had this pretty heated discussion in our hockey and about it. And like, even the hit wasn't that hard. The contact wasn't that hard. Like, so is it whiplash? Is it not? I'm not a doctor, so I can't answer those things, but it didn't look like there was a big, too big of a contact, and it wasn't targeted. Like, he's, if you look at him, he's like looking up to see where the puck's coming. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh shoot, there's somebody here. And he's, you can see him try to step around, but his, I think he was trying to use his hands to push away, but you know, there's bigger hits that happen in a game. The Freddie Anderson hit, you know, that's a questionable one too. Like, it just, you know, there, it just happens, and the game's so fast. And I don't think anybody's out targeting goalies, especially in that situation where they're pretty vulnerable. So if you do hit them, you're probably looking at a pretty good big suspension.
Goaltending has been very, very interesting in the Winnipeg, I guess not the Winnipeg series, but Winnipeg's story so far in this postseason. Connor Hellebuyck not having a postseason that would match, I guess, his Hart Trophy worthy regular season. And that's been something that's come up for him in many postseasons, or in several postseasons, I guess I should say. I wonder, because you're probably in both sides of this, where you don't have your game and you don't know what to do about it, but also when you're on the bench and you're watching your partner go through it. And I want to stick on that one. When you're watching your goaltender partner who's not right, and there's nothing you can really say or do that's going to fix anything, what do you do? Like, what sort of position and how can you be helpful as a backup goaltender when it's clear the guy who is in net just doesn't have it?
Well, mentally, one, for yourself, be ready to go, because who knows when the coach is going to make the change. Two, if they come and talk to you, you know, voice your, what you've seen. Like, you know, we're the only two, they're the only two in the organization that can relate to one another. And, you know, they're doing goalie lessons and training and goalie coaching. And a lot of time is, it's together. So even though you might not move the same way or make saves the same way, you sort of learn what the other guy is doing and what he's doing to have success, and what it takes for you to have success, your partner's sort of, so you're almost like a sounding board for one another. And if you work well together, you know, like Connery's in a tough spot, he can't really say anything, but if Connor came to him, then you say, yeah, I could see you're doing this, or you're not doing this. You know, like for me, for my terminology, you're leaving your stick behind, or your head staying behind, or you're not tracking it well, like small little cues that he knows that Connor needs to be better, you know, but you really can't step up and give that information outright. You got to wait for Connor to come to you, because he's already fighting that part. So until he takes a breath and sort of asks you, it's like you can't say a word and just hope that he figures it out if he's not asking you.
I know you're working with more like youth, and I think you're working with Niagara University. I'm not sure if you're still with the Ross. Okay, awesome. The Purple Eagles, right?
If you're still Eagles.
There you go. Well, I wonder for you, like, now getting to work with young goalies or young athletes in general, like, where the position specifically has grown the most, you know, like technology advancements, the mental side of it, like, where are the steps being taken that we're going to watch future Canadian and American goaltenders come through and be like, oh, wow, they are more equipped for XYZ because they're getting this at a younger age and they're training just so differently?
Yeah, that's a good and a bad answer. Mm-hmm. The bad answer is, I think they call this move, it's called reverse HV. It gets overused and you see a lot of bad goals. You know, goals that should never, ever go in are going in because goalies are overusing it. But the good part of it is the training that I sort of, once I got the Buffalo, that I sort of gravitated to is with my strength guy, but also I did a sports vision guy in Edmonton. Dr. Mark Gordon was his name. And then also the mental side, that you see these goalies now, you know, it's a big thing with Connor's little pregame ritual on the bench. You know, all he's doing, he's doing some eye tracking movements, right? He's the muscles are the muscles in your eyes, but you know, with my sports vision guy, you train your eye muscles like you would train the rest of your body. So you go for a long drive, you don't do anything except for move your hands and your feet, but you're tired. Why? Because your eyes are tired. Mm. It's on your brain, you're tired. So you train your eye muscles the same way. So that's come a long way. And then the mental side, obviously, like being able to adapt and not worry about and forget about bad goals, bad situations, you know, coming into a bad rank. How do you, a rank that you've never really had success in, how do you go into that rank and actually have good games, you know? So I think the mental side has come a long way as well. Technical side is, it hasn't changed really since, you know, Johnny Bowers and Gump Worsley's, this foundation's still there of the movements, except where we're just, goalies now are sliding and going into butterflies where they didn't, right? So the butterflies come a long way, but it's still, the movements are, it's the same foundation as what they use. So that part of the game hasn't changed. So
we're talking to Dwayne Rollison, who led or helped lead the Edmonton Oilers to the Stanley Cup final in 2006. You played, Dwayne, until you were 42. We have Marc-Andre Fleury, a legendary goaltender, retiring now at 40. He's going to play for Canada at the World Championships before he officially hangs him up. But we had an interesting discussion with Carter Hutton earlier this week, who was kind of detailing the lengths that he had to go through in order into just his 30s, late 30s, I suppose, just to keep going, just to keep playing. Like everything that he had to do to make sure that his body would allow him to play was, in hindsight for him, like really, really demanding, like too much on the body into your early 40s. Was it like that for you, or were you, and I don't know if this is the same for Marc-Andre Fleury, but it seems like he's more of a natural who wouldn't need to put his body through hell in order to do that. And they, maybe I'm generalizing based on Marc-Andre Fleury's demeanor and just the youthful nature that he exudes, but I'm sure he has to work hard. But did you have to work unbelievably hard to last as long as you did?
Yeah, you still have to work hard. You have to train. You have to do things in the off season to be ready for the full season. And then also, as you get older, you got to be smarter with the training. Like you, especially in season, you're playing lots of games, so you got to make sure you're getting your rest. And you know, I was fortunate enough to get with my strength guy really well, not early in my career, but when I was in Buffalo. I started working with him, and then I was also working with another guy, Mark Scapatici is his name. He's a doctor of chiropractic, but he also does a lot of soft tissue work. So working with them, everything was like coordinated for me. Like, we're going through this, we're doing this. And then at the same time, I'm going to see Mark and getting cleaned up and make sure muscles are firing properly. So the focus was off season, making sure that all the small muscles around big joints were strong and solid to protect the bigger joints. And fortunate enough, besides the knee, you know, I had one minor little shoulder problem, but other than that, I was healthy through most of my career. And I give a lot of credit to my strength guy and to Mark and to keeping me healthy. And I think Marc-Andre is the same way. He's pretty dialed in. Like, I know he likes to have a lot of fun, but I think when it's time to focus, he's focused, right? So, and that's the big thing. Like when you're in the off season, getting your workouts in, getting your, making sure you're doing everything right so you can have success in the regular season. And during those times, it's big family time, and you already miss enough of your family's life and during the season. So you want to try to get it all in, but also make sure you have time for your family. So that was the pressing thing towards the end. As my kids were getting older, you know, my demands with them, being able to do stuff with them was, you know, being able to go for bigger, longer mountain bike rides or doing some different things, going water skiing and things like that, that, you know, I wanted to go do. So, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to miss that. So I had to make sure I got my workouts in early, made sure I hit the gym and did all that stuff before any of that stuff happened. So, you know, it's time management now in the summertime. And for most of these guys, they don't get, there isn't time off. So, you know, you got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself throughout your career.
Speaking of family, we got probably the largest group of Simcoe, Ontario people watching right now because I married a Simcoe boy this last fall. And so everyone in Simcoe is watching right now. And we're, I know you're a Simcoe guy. So he, I had to give a shout out. He grew up playing hockey and Dave Hockley was his coach. I know he was a friend of yours. And he said that you came out to a couple of his practices, my husband, when he was like 10. So he remembers fondly and he didn't make the NHL. So I guess it's your fault.
Yeah, it's always my fault. I blame it on Dave.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll blame it on Dave, but we'll even blame it even one step further to Dave's defense partner, which was Rob Blake. Yeah. So, you know, so anything Dave learned, he learned it from Rob. So we just blame Rob.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, yeah, Simcoe's a great small town. And, you know, we live in Cordova now, but it's actually Dave's going to do some work landscaping where rebuilding our house down there, and Dave's got the contract to do all the landscaping, so which is great, you know, be able to see him and get back every summer to see everybody back there. So it's great to be home, and it's great to go back there. It's you've been there, you spend enough time there, everyone knows everybody, and it's a great place to raise a family and to go back to.
Well, I will see you in Port Dover this summer and around Simcoe, maybe at the Blue Elephant, the Barrel for some pizza.
The Barrel, yeah. Johnny at the Barrel. It's the best place ever.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't get to the Blue Elephant too often anymore, but... it's just way too big. We spend most of our time in Dover now. So it's... I get to Simcoe, but I'm not going out to eat except for Johnny up at the Barrel. He's been a long, big supporter, and the Highway Restaurant, they were big supporters of mine as well. So I would try to go see them as much as I could when I'd go in, and when my parents were alive, they loved the Highway. So we'd always go there and take them there. So, but now that's closed, but the Barrel's still there. So it's still a great place. So if you're ever in Simcoe, make sure you stop by the Barrel.
Definitely.
Dwayne, said husband is the reason why I don't know if you can see us. We have Justin. Your Dwayne Rollison jersey hanging up behind me.
Gorgeous jersey.
And I want to know, because it has the patch for the Stanley Cup final, what size of jersey did you wear?
It might be yours.
Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a goalie cut, but I want to say it was a 54.
Ooh.
52, 54.
Okay, maybe. It says triple X large. So I thought there's a chance, you know, triple X large to get over the goaltending.
I think it's a replica, but I'll bring it to Port Dover.
I think it's yours. I think it's yours. You can sign it this summer.
Yeah, just make sure you bring it down. But for sure, I'd sign that.
Oh, it's very sweet.
It's great. Yeah. So how often do you get back to Simcoe?
Often.
Probably not.
I'll be there this summer for sure. Lots of weddings and, you know, wineries to visit. So we will make it happen. Make sure we stop by and we'll make sure we find out where this golf course is too. I don't think that's in Simcoe because that looks way too nice.
Oh, no, this one, yeah, unfortunately, this is in Tampa.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's... You know, the area is awesome. And like you said, the wineries, all these wineries all over now. So it's a great place to go visit. I don't want to toot the area too much because then we'll have all the tourists coming
down.
True. But it's a great place. Yeah. You know, it's so small.
We might have lost Dwayne right at the end of this heartfelt conversation.
Unfortunately, it probably needed to happen as we were under a minute. So we can't give a proper goodbye.
Sorry, Dwayne. That was great.
But good Simcoe reminiscing there.
Yeah.
And I am convinced that is his jersey.
Okay, well.
With the Stanley Cup patch on the front, we can turn it around.
We'll flip it around for the second half of the show. Well, that was really lovely. That was Dwayne Rollison, former NHL goaltender, of course, Simcoe's very own. We don't have too long to wrap up, so we'll just tee up what's coming up next. We'll do the rest on the other side of the break. It'll be Devontae Smith-Pelly, former NHL forward, Stanley Cup champ. We got Carolina, Washington up on 7 p.m. on Sportsnet, and then Edmonton, Vegas will be the 9 p.m. start, also on Sportsnet 360. We'll talk a little Jays. Hasn't been pretty for them. That's just after 9 p.m.
Can we just talk about Mikko Rantanen?
Yeah, we can just do that instead. Mikko Rantanen, some best bets. We'll take a look at the series around the NHL, and we might be giving away tickets to Toronto Scepters game. But you got to stick with us for the other side of the break. We'll give you the code word. All right? All that to come on Fan Pregame.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's The Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Just chatted with Dwayne Rolison, former NHL goaltender. Get you set for Edmonton, Vegas, a 9 p.m. start on the network and Sportsnet 360. We got Jays in action tonight, Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan a little after 9 p.m. It will be Chris Bassitt on the mound tonight.
Indeed it will. Trying to stop the bleeding.
And they certainly need to do that. It has not been pretty for the Blue Jays as of late. But let's look ahead. We've got a first part of our doubleheader, Carolina-Washington, game two. That's up in about 30 minutes. Carolina with a 1-0 series lead over the Washington Capitals. And we'll bring in Devontae Smith-Pelly, former NHL forward and Stanley Cup champ. Devontae, we appreciate you coming on. How's it going?
It's good. Everything's good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, we're happy to have you on. We're marveling at this before the show, marveling at this Washington Capitals team, because we're dating back 7 years and we're looking what you were able to do over that run. And it just goes back to Ovechkin, right? Ovechkin enduring, Ovechkin still being this force, Carlson and Wilson obviously still going strong as well. But what's it like watching these guys? Because we are, you know, several years removed now from you winning a Stanley Cup with these guys, and they're still playing at such a high level. What's it like watching these three, especially in the Stanley Cup final or Stanley Cup playoffs, excuse me, this year?
It's been fun. I'm in Washington a lot, doing a lot of work for the team, with the network. So I get a chance to see them a lot, hang out with them a lot. You know, Tom, when we won, was a younger guy. So I'm definitely not surprised that, you know, he's grown up and taken more of a leadership role now, but to see, you know, John Carlson still at a high level, and obviously Ovi, if you would have asked me 7 years ago, if I could have seen, you know, 40 goals at this age, I'm not sure I would have been able to say, yeah, you're correct. So to see him still at this level, at this age, it's special. It's special. I'm happy I've played a little bit of a part in that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, so I got to see you being a part of that story as it kind of got close to that record-setting goal, you know, the hype train and Ovi and the tour around. And when it finally happened, like, it was really about Ovi, but it was about all the people that got him there, right? You know, the people that assisted, the people that pushed him, the team that helped him win. And so when Ovi did break the Wayne Gretzky record, like, what was going through your mind as somebody that has been an influential part in Ovi's career to get to this level?
Well, the first thing I thought was, I can't believe it. Again, like I said, I when we played together, he would have scored, you know, number 600, and that was crazy. And still, even at 600, we just weren't thinking that 895 was possible. So getting a chance to, you know, see the run, and again, like I said, I'm in Washington a lot, so getting a chance to see it up close and then being in the arena for the record-breaking goal, sitting with TJ Oshie and Nick Backstrom, two guys that played a massive part in his career. I was grateful because, like I said, I played a really small part in the story, but just to be involved a little bit for me, it meant a lot because obviously Obi, he's a legend. He's who everyone, you know, my age watched growing up. So being able to call him a friend and be involved a little bit was I'm really grateful.
What was the celly like after that night?
a lot of beers, but it was a great celebration. Just hearing those guys talk, hearing Ovi, how thankful he was for, you know, obviously the team this year and all the guys who came to the celebration, Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, all just, you know, his thoughts after this, because, you know, while it's going on, he played it really cool. He said he wasn't nervous. He said he wasn't thinking about it, but it's a big burden on him, chasing this record. So it was just, again, a lot of beers, but I was excited to be a part of just hearing them talk and how thankful they were for each other.
Another reason why Ovi is different, the beers
yeah,
just don't
crushing beers.
They don't seem to slow him down, though. Like, it doesn't matter. In fact, I think it probably helps having that, that post-game
Cheetos,
frosty one.
Like, he's
subs and Cheetos. I'm not going to say that the subs and Cheetos help, but they don't matter, I guess. You know, Devontae, it seemed like the hockey world viewed Ovechkin differently after you guys won in 2018. It was like, okay, you are accomplished now. Alexander Ovechkin's career wasn't just about, you know, scoring goals, and Alexander Ovechkin, he was Stanley Cup champion and crowned accordingly. But I wonder if, as the hockey world changed its perception of him, he changed at all. Did, like, it liberate him? Did it change him? What did it do for Ovechkin and just being around Ovechkin after you guys won in 2018, if at all?
Well, obviously growing up in Canada, him and Sidney Crosby are compared, and I think, you know, the media kind of put them against each other. Sidney Crosby won early, and then he won back-to-back cups, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like, he's the winner, and Ovi's the selfish guy. From day one when I got there, obviously, this is before we won the Stanley Cup, he was nothing but an amazing teammate, and he does not get enough credit for how good of a leader he is, how much he cares for everyone on the team, how much he, you know, loves the team, how much he's willing to do anything for all the guys. So that was something that when I joined the team, you know, you just hear stories of guys who don't necessarily even know him saying he's this and he's that. That was something that stuck out to me from day one was, you know, hey, do you need a car? Hey, do you need this? Hey, do you need a reservation? Anything you needed, whether old or young, Alex Ovechkin would take care of you on the team. So that was something that he definitely doesn't get enough credit for. And I hope, you know, as his career is, it's obviously winding down here, I think those stories need to be told a lot more.
We're chatting with Devontae Smith-Pelly ahead of game two, Carolina, Washington with the 1-0 series deficit so far. And I know you've been covering this team. You're working with Monumental Sports Network. I want to ask you just about the perspective of the Capitals going in, because, you know, you look at this Eastern Conference, they had 111 points, top of the Metro. But when you looked at the favorites, like, they weren't really considered a team by many that were going to make it to the Stanley Cup final. I think their season was unbelievable. There was a lot of discussion about Ovi's individual chase and Spencer Carberry, what he's done for this team. But, like, what is your perspective on how big of a threat they should be? Obviously, just down 1-0 right now to the Hurricanes, but a team that proved it all season long. They've proved that they've got great depth, they've got great coaching, and maybe a little bit undervalued or underrated so far.
Yeah, I mean, to me, anytime you have a season like that, you have to be considered, you know, a threat in the playoffs. I'm not really sure why around the league or around the media circles that, you know, they're kind of looked down upon or kind of just overlooked. But anytime you have a season like that, you know, they beat every good team. They played amazing the whole year. Obviously, at the end of the year, when there's nothing to play for, there's a little bit of a lull, but they were consistent the whole year. So to me, it's kind of confusing that, you know, they're being overlooked. But I think to them, it doesn't really matter. They're not too worried. Obviously, as a player, you're not really worried about who's the favorite, who's being picked. They definitely have a belief in the team that they can be successful.
So you won the Stanley Cup in 2018. You come back the next season. You lose in 7 games in the first round to the Carolina Hurricanes, and it was Rod Brendamore's first year at the helm with Carolina. I know the team is different than the one that Washington is dealing with now, but the coach is the same, and the coach does things vastly different, it seems, than other coaches. Why is it so tough against a Rod Brendamore coach team? What does he do that makes the hurdle a little bit more difficult to clear?
It's shots from everywhere. It's a lot of pressure. I think it kind of catches teams off guard, how much pressure they actually put on teams. For me, from watching from the other side now, I think, you know, there actually is half a second more than there seems to be, but it's just nonstop shots. You're defending majority of the game, so you don't really have any energy to play offense usually, unless you do a fantastic job blocking shots and kind of killing plays early. So, yeah, they've obviously been successful in that. Obviously, haven't got over the hump. I think usually they kind of miss that one or two guys who can kind of create offense out of nothing. But, you know, the system seems to be working decently well. Who knows if it's ever going to get the job done, though.
So you mentioned that you played a small role in Ovechkin's story, and you know, you may be minimizing it a little bit because you scored seven goals in the Stanley Cup run in 2018. And I think, you know, I think we're reminded every year about how much pressure is on the big guys, especially in the Toronto market, right? Like, that's been the story, how much pressure there is on the top guys to produce and how they have failed up until maybe this point to produce when needed. But when you get seven goals from Devontae Smith-Pelly, it makes life easier on an Alexander Ovechkin and the top guys for the Washington Capitals during that run. I guess, you know, you're going to minimize it probably more. So I'll ask you this way, like, how much pressure or disproportionate amount of pressure is on different guys in the room? Like, it's kind of found money for you to step in and score these goals and everyone's celebrating you because you're exceeding expectations. But when those goals are not coming from the depths of the lineup, how much does it make the challenge that much harder for the guys everybody is looking to lead in a Stanley Cup playoff run?
Well, yeah, I think for any team to be successful, they're going to need scoring from everywhere. It's, you know, the Stanley Cup run, we played 24 games. Those are 24 of the hardest games you're going to play. Those top guys, no matter how skilled they are, they're just not going to be able to score or get points every single night. So I think the top guys, obviously, they run the show. You're not going to be able to go anywhere without your top guys. But there's going to be a night, there's going to be a couple nights where, you know, you look the other night, Max Domi scores a big goal. You know, he doesn't have to do that every night. The other night, the game was extremely tight. He stepped up and did it. Next game, it doesn't have to be Max again. It could be anybody. But I think, you know, anytime you can relieve that pressure, because like I said, it's 24 of the hardest games you could possibly play, no matter who you are. I mean, unless you're Connor McDavid or anything like that, you're not going to get 2 points a game. You're not going to score every single game. So just, you know, when you can chip in whenever you can, that just obviously helps the team a lot more.
I'm glad you mentioned Max Domi, and, you know, obviously we know you're a Toronto guy. I wonder how much you're watching with a keen eye on what happens to that series in this city. I mean, it's been pretty unbelievable, up 2-0 on the defending Stanley Cup champs in the second round. It's like uncharted territory here for a lot of Leaf fans.
Yeah, I definitely been watching. I kind of lost my, you know, full-on fandom as I started playing in the league and stuff like that.
You can obviously get it back.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, with a long run, I think I might jump back on the bandwagon. But yes, it's amazing. It seems that, you know, in years past, with the smallest little inconvenience, they kind of folded a little bit. And this year, it seems like they battled. Obviously, losing those two straight games after up 3-0, get down, not letting it get to that dreaded game seven. That seems a little different. You know, Florida scoring the other night and Mitch Marner coming down and scoring instantly in the next shift, that seems a little different. So I look at it a little bit differently just because I've been through it and I know how hard it is and how quick things change. So I'm kind of tempering my excitement right this second, but so far it's been a good run and hopefully they can keep it going.
So if you paid any attention rather to the Maple Leafs, then you've probably seen Max Pacioretty throw himself through a defender forechecking. You played with Max Pacioretty when he's a different player, captain of the Montreal Canadiens many years ago. Is it unrecognizable what he's turned himself into for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not how he played when we were teammates, but it's not surprising because Max was a great captain. He was a great teammate, and he was, you know, willing to do anything in order to win. So obviously that was his prime goal scoring years and he needed to score for us to be able to win. Now obviously he's a little bit older, he doesn't have to carry that offensive burden. I'm not surprised that he, you know, has changed his game for the team because that's the guy he is. So I'm happy that he, you know, he's had a rough couple years with injuries, so I'm happy he's healthy and playing well.
Last one for you. Another former teammate is Corey Perry from your Anaheim days. Now he's playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Is it unbelievable to think that that guy, who was an absolute megastar when you played with him, is still playing, A, and B, playing with two of the best players in the entire world?
Yeah, it's actually insane that he is still going. But just like Max, He loves the game. He's obsessed with playing hockey. So I'm not surprised that, you know, you're going to need to literally hide his equipment for him to retire, or he's gonna play all the way until he's, you know, 45. But just like Max, obviously his role has changed a little bit. He's, you know, the feet aren't moving exactly how they used to. He was never really a fast player, but obviously he's not moving as fast as he used to. So he's had to change his game, and he's another guy that I'm not surprised that he's able to adapt and willing to play a different role, because again, a great teammate. He loves you know, winning, and he's willing to do anything to win. So I'm surprised he's still going at. He should be turning, what, 40 pretty soon, right? Just based on age, but not surprised that he's been willing to change his game, and not surprised that he's successful doing it.
Yeah, his 40th birthday is May 16th, so less than 10 days away.
A week tomorrow.
Might be headed to the conference finals at that point for a big 40th birthday. This was fun, Devonte. Really appreciate you coming on. You got lots of teammates to keep an eye on. You got lots of fandoms to kind of tiptoe back into, but I know you got your keen eye on the Washington Capitals, and we appreciate you helping us tee that game up tonight, and enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good night.
Thanks so much. That's Devonte Smith-Pelly, former NHL forward, Stanley Cup champ, and working with Monumental Sports Network as well. And we've got that Caps game tonight against Carolina in about 15 minutes up on Sportsnet.
It's pretty cool. Like, Devonte Smith-Pelly didn't have the most legendary NHL career, but you win a Stanley Cup, you help Ovechkin win a Stanley Cup, you played with Corey Perry, who's still playing, and all these different tentacles that go out throughout the league, and he is, like, a keen eye on everything that's going on, because he has a story to tell from pretty much every series.
And a guy from Toronto.
Got
a little fandom in there. He said he could get it back. That should be the goal for the Maple Leafs.
I don't know.
Let's get Devonte Smith-Pelly
to Toronto conference final.
Well, that would be tough, actually.
He'll probably be leaning towards the Capitals.
Both the teams that we teed up, well, both like perspectives, we had Edmonton and we had Washington, are dogs tonight. And they got to get an opportunity to get back in the series. Both, well, Oilers leading, but they're the dogs tonight against the Golden Knights, Carolina, with the series lead over Washington. Washington at home, they got to win this one.
Yeah, but as he mentioned, with Brendan Moore teams, like, they're a different breed.
So they're shot merchants.
They're shot merchants, and sometimes, you know, you could argue, are they wasting shots? But it's just the pressure. Like, you can't take a breath because they just keep doing it over and over and over again. And again, it doesn't lead to these, you know, 6-1 blowout victories, but it leads to kind of a suffocating 2-1 loss, which is kind of what we saw in Game 1 between Carolina and Washington, where it just seemed like the Capitals couldn't get it started because of that pressure from Carolina. So they're going to have to find an answer for that.
Shot merchants like Justin in college.
I'll accept that.
At the bar.
I'll accept that.
Okay, let's do an exciting giveaway for hockey fans in the GTA. We're giving away 2 pairs of tickets to Game 2 of the PWHL semifinals tomorrow night between the Toronto Scepters and the Minnesota Frost. And we want to send you to be a part of the action at Coca-Cola Coliseum. Text the code word SPOONER to 59590 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to witness the electric playoff atmosphere tomorrow night as the Scepters defend home ice. Again, text SPOONER to 59590 for your shot to win. Standard message and data rates apply. For those that don't win with us, be sure to get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. And I will be there. A bonus, you can say hello.
I thought you were missing.
Well, I missed last night. Obviously, we had the Leafs game on Sportsnet 590 Fan, so you and I were working.
680 News Radio Toronto.
Yep, that as well. So I had to give my tickets up last night. But tomorrow night, I really don't have an excuse. The Leafs are playing, but I've got Rogers Ignite.
Are you? I was going to say, you're getting a little complacent with this Leaf team.
No, I think I can do both.
You're willing to just accept a potential split in Sunrise?
I think I can stream the game while I'm at the Scepters game. And last night was big for Toronto. Toronto Maple Leafs win, Toronto Scepters win. I want to be a part of the atmosphere, and I'm not going to be in Florida, so I'm going to be probably.
Technology can carry you through.
So looking forward to that. Yeah, text Spooner 590-590. Okay, so quickly look at our best bets, maybe?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
You don't have to ask me.
Okay, mine is PWHL related. So last night's Scepters get the 1-0 series lead over the Frost. I'm going to go with the other favorite team. I have two. And the Montreal Victoire kicking things off against the Charge. They're minus 150 on the money line. I think it'll be a Scepters Victoire final. I'm going to go with the home team, the besties, to get a win tonight.
Okay. Big spot here.
Yep.
Big spot for the Victoire. I'm going to go with the Edmonton Oilers. Plus money, plus 110. Mm-hmm. The Oilers have found something. They're riding a wave. Maybe just keep playing it until that wave crashes, and it hasn't crashed yet. It's a really important game for the Golden Knights. If you're down 0-2, going back to Edmonton, it's probably curtains, so I expect a good effort from the Golden Knights. But I'm sort of the mind that not many teams are going to be able to just match what the Oilers are doing right now, match what Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are doing, which has been buoyed by great play from the middle six and down the lineup for Edmonton. I think they're on fire right now. I think they might be able to steal two in Vegas and take it home.
Okay. Well, why don't we just do all the people we talked to tonight? Then we'll do Capitals, Oilers, and Victoire should be our teams of the night. Do you believe in the Capitals? They're also dogs.
Not particularly.
So you think that Carolina will take the 2-0 series lead?
If life depended on it, I might lean Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to believe in Devontae Smith.
You're into Washington.
I just think I can't believe that they're like plus 140 tonight. Like,
yeah,
they're a good hockey team. They're going to figure it out. They played not good.
And they're a desperate hockey team.
And they're
tonight.
Desperate. So I'm going to believe in Ovi and the subs and the Cheetos.
Price matters, though. Like, I'm not like lining up to pay minus
Neither
prices on Carolina right now. But if it's like even odds, I'll take Rod Brendamore.
Okay, let's quickly look back at last night. I mean, I don't know what else we can say about Mikko Rantanen running out of adjectives. A 1-0 series lead for the Stars and another hat trick for Mikko Rantanen. He has two hat tricks in three periods. At that point, he had scored two hat tricks in three hockey periods. Like, it's unbelievable. He's obviously the Conn Smythe favorite now. If you didn't bet him, you lost your chance because I don't know how that's going to move.
Hard to imagine anyone on Dallas will catch him, given what he's done.
That's
all these
crazy.
First, you know, natural hat tricks, three goals in periods.
God.
When you can do that plural, it's pretty remarkable. I think he's surprising even himself. Like, it's just going into that. When you're just touching everything, turning
like
to goal.
When you're hot, you're hot, and you just, like, puck goes in.
Yeah. Dallas is in a good spot, too, after this game one
victory.
That's
your pick.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know you're on the Canadian team. So listen, life's good right now. The Canadian teams in three of the four series, good opportunity for at least two of them to get through with Edmonton and Toronto really taking control of their series, or at least starting off on the right foot here. Maybe Winnipeg can get back into this, but Dallas looks pretty complete and will only be adding a number one defenseman into the mix in time here, which makes them even more dangerous.
And Leafs last night with another big win over the Panthers. Like, you, I think we talked about it quickly at the end of our show on 680 News Toronto, Radio Toronto. But everything that wasn't working for the Leafs in the last couple series seemed to be working. They're getting the bounces. They're getting depth scoring. They're figuring out ways to not be pulled into the muck of another team. They're winning on home ice. Like, it's almost scary to see all these things starting to fall in line. I think a lot of Leaf fans are dealing with this. I don't want to get too excited, but I want to be excited because this is an amazing moment. I've never seen this team go this far. Like, I think a lot of people are struggling how to feel.
Yeah, the answer as to why they're getting what they didn't get previous, I think everyone can put their own confirmation bias on that. Is it because they've matured? Is it the coaching? Is it the fact that they're just better defensively or better in terms of their goaltending, or just, I don't know, maybe a little bit more lucky than they've been? I think probably a mix of that, but the fact that they've been able to answer every, like, moment of adversity almost immediately with a goal or something really good has been something that Leaf fans are just not accustomed to. Like, foreign territory for anyone who's covered or watched this team in recent history. So they're getting what they haven't gotten, and that's put them in this position where the conference finals are only two wins away.
That's crazy. It's fun to watch.
By the way, you mentioned, I think, was it early this week, maybe late last week, that you were in on Canada for the World Championship?
I was in on Canada.
Did you have inside information?
Well, now look at their roster.
So
it's
since you've said that, what they've added, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, mm-hmm. Braden Schenn, Jared Spurgeon, mm-hmm. Jordan Binnington, Marc-Andre Fleury, mm-hmm. Phil Deneau, they look like a veritable all-star team mm-hmm. all of a sudden. Like,
you should have bought them at plus 200 or whatever I saw. Now they're minus money to win the tournament.
Yeah. What did you know is my question.
I didn't know anything, but I did know that there's a lot of pride on those Canadian players, and they want to go represent their country, and they want to represent at the Olympics. And this is a good opportunity to put that sweater on again, not at the Four Nations face-off, but be in that Team Canada dynamic. And I got a chance to go to the IIHF World Championships 2020? Whenever the bubble, we were in a bubble in Latvia, and I was...
Sounds right.
It was tough.
2020. Might have been 2021.
And I love the World Championships, and I think this is going to, like, allow more people to be into it. No offense to the team that I saw who won gold, but it was a lot of people, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's on that team.
It is Sidney Crosby.
But this is sick.
Like,
this
it's
is
Sidney Crosby that
unbelievable.
Allows for this.
Yes,
you know?
And he wasn't there when I was there. It's been a while since he was on the team. Like, this is huge. I think Canada's going to smoke everybody, and it's going to be a lot of Canadian pride.
Okay.
Yeah. How could they not?
I guess, like, you know, Four Nations win, we carry this over? You make it three in a row? Are we going to be self-serving and counted as, like, it's not best on best, but another international competition won, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but you'll take it?
Yeah, I'll take it. But
just more momentum rolling in the Olympics.
To Milan.
What I'm trying to get to.
Okay. Later tonight, you've got Jays Angels at 9 p.m. start on Sportsnet 1. And until then, you got two hockey games to watch. So everybody have a wonderful night. We will see you tomorrow.